This is how you can do it. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, but the helper, let's read it together. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. Woo! So now, when you don't know what to say, you know, stay standing. I won't make you stand too much longer. But there was a mighty man of God on Paramore down in Orlando. And I used to go visit his church every fourth Lord's Day. And all of a sudden, I was compelled to continue to go there. And when you walk into his church, my brother Ed's been there, right across the pulpit says, keep the main thing the main thing. Whoa. And that man, when he came to know Christ, back in 77, he and I crossed paths. And the man that shared the good news with him, he says, now you got to go share your faith. So this man of God in the year 2000 made a vow to God never to go to sleep without leading a soul to Christ. And he walks the streets of Orlando until somebody comes to know Christ. Pastor Gary the other week says, do you think you could get Glennie to come here? I said, what do you think? You know what he said? Have Bible, we'll travel. That's the same year I made a vow to God never to go to sleep without sharing my faith. Let's read the next verse. Together, and they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives, even when faced with death. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Mark 16:15, Jesus said unto you, go into all the world and deliver my message. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, was it an option or was it a command? Thank you. The Holy Spirit in the year 2000 brought me under conviction that if I'm not sharing my faith, I am disobeying the ultimate command. I'm talking about myself now. If I say I love the Lord God with all my heart and desire to love my neighbor as myself, it's no longer an option to share my faith, but it is a command. By the way, do we have any missionaries with us today? Any missionaries? Oh, I see some hands going up. Okay, now, it's so hard to talk because some of these people, a lot of you in here I know and I love you, so, and some of you know that question already. The fact is, if you know Jesus Christ in a personal way, you are on a mission, okay? When you were saved, you were called with a holy calling to deliver the message, you've been set free. Earlier, you were given a gospel tract and an invitation to grace. What night were we on the coast? Thursday night. Oftentimes people hear about the power of God, but when you witness, you experience the power of God. Ed, you don't need to stand, but you can stand. Go ahead and stand. This is my brother Ed, and this is the first Bible he ever had. And I had the honor to give it to him. A few years ago, he came to know the Lord. We worked together. Actually, he owns it, and I work for him, but he won't tell you that, okay? Because he recognizes what that is all about. That's a ministry. But on Thursday night, we were sitting at a table. Waitress comes up, and I said, "Can I give you some good news?" You can go ahead and sit down if you want. "Can I give you some good news in a troubled world?" And all of a sudden, she began to tremble. And she says, "You don't know how much I needed that." She says, "My mom just died." Now, she was a Christian, but watch this. That was healing because I did what God called me to do. Minister to people in the beginning if you walk into a restaurant. Give it to them in the beginning because you never know what their needs are. One time I walked into a restaurant and there was a lady and I said, "Can I give you some good news in a troubled world?" Back then I had a track, which y'all, many of you are familiar with, said, "Can I give you a smile to match your smile?" The Holy Spirit about a year ago said, "Change it. Change it. Use the track that you led the oldest person to Christ with, a lady who was 92 years old. I led her to Christ through this track." It's powerful. But one time I gave it to a lady as I walked in a restaurant, and guess what she said? She looked at me and burst out crying and said, "I need Jesus, and I need Jesus now." Right in front of everybody. She had just lost her baby. She came to know Christ. She did not know Christ. See, you don't know as you're passing by. I always tell people I have a leaky seed basket, okay? If I walk into Walmart, I'm going to run into somebody. In fact, the pastor that I'm telling you about at Harvest Baptist Church in Orlando on Paramore, his name is Glendy Hamilton, okay? He says one of his favorite fishing holes is Walmart. And by the way, When you go fishing, you go fishing and you're like, "Well, I don't know if I'll cast. I probably won't catch anything today." You know what Glendy would say? And I'll give credit to him. You got to want one to get one. But you got to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to witness. In the year 2000 when I did that, oh my God, you stay upon that. You cry upon that prayer. "Give me the power to witness, God," and he'll begin to reveal to you what you need to do. In 2000, already, you know, people would say, "Oh, I'm a good Christian man. He owned a business ministry in Leesburg, and he was a good witness." And no. When you ask for the power to witness, you start getting out of the flesh and you start delivering that message in the spirit. Big difference. Big difference. But you might say to yourself, "Oh, I still have some sin in my life and I can't deliver this message." I'll tell you what, I'll never forget the last time God set me free in 84 from drugs and alcohol. But there's one little thing I like to do every once in a while. And when I own a business, sometimes they'd send you out on trips. And I used to always like to smoke a Cuban cigar. But in the year 2000, I went on my first trip. And here I am in the marketplace. And I'm going to buy a cigar. And the Holy Spirit said, "Really? That was the last time I smoked my Cuban cigars. I had to give her a message, okay?" Instead. The power to witness. There's a friend of mine at work. And Mike is a good guy. But I'll never forget, just a few weeks ago, he came to me. And he said, "Phil," he says, "my brother is dying. He's drinking himself to death. And all of his organs are shutting down. And every time I talk to him about asking Jesus into his heart or even think of talking about it, he rejects it. He rejects it. And I said to Mike, I said, let's pray together. And then I'm going to tell you what you need to do. We prayed together. And when I got done praying for the soul of that man, I looked at Mike and I said, Mike, I need you to read this yourself tonight and do what it says. And then you need to go to your brother and you need to read it to him. And Mike said, well, he won't want to listen. I said, didn't I just pray? Didn't I ask for the power of God to come on your lips to share with him, your brother? And I said, I pray that God sends messengers of light into your relatives' lives. And he does. I've lived long enough to see that power take place. And oftentimes when you're witnessing out there, you're the messenger with the light to the relative that's praying. I often say that when you deliver the message, then God will also send messengers of light into your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives, because you're doing what he called you to do. So Mike left. The next morning, I come to work, and all of a sudden Mike says, come here, I got to talk to you. He says, I did what you told me to do. He says, I can't believe it. He asked Jesus Christ to come into his life and save him. Whoa. Three days later, his brother's gone. You don't know. I used to own a business ministry in town, and many of you know that. And then God called me out. I would go on trips, missions trips, Tijuana, had the honor to birth a medical station and an orphanage. And we would take 2,000 tracts in one day and deliver the message in Spanish to the dear people. Later on, you can take a look at it if you want, but later on, this is a cross up on the hill. As that, and down in the valley is where we birthed the medical station orphanage, keeping the little children off the streets who were being used by the drug world. But the night before we birthed the medical station, I was up there with several people to pray. And then finally I was left alone and I prayed all night. Came back down off the mountain. And the next day we birthed the medical station. And I'm not going to show it to you now, but all I can tell you is they came running over to where I was eating and said, Brother Phil, Felipe, you need to see what God's doing now. And it was actually a red rainbow coming out of the cross we had all prayed at. You can take a look at it later. It's not trick photography. It's the power of God. Amen. Just, then God called me from there to Kentucky. Had the honor to birth a ministry for men and women. Women first. I told them pure religion is to take care of the widows and the children, and then we'll build the men's center. And they honored to be the director of a ministry there, and also in evangelism. That was a church that had never passed out a gospel tract. And for 2 years, they did. The church exploded from 400 to 800. And they passed out over 20,000 gospel tracts in those 2 years. And women were set free from their addictions, became productive Christian women in the community. And then one day,
6 years ago, I got a phone call. We found your daughter's body in Oxford. And I resigned, came back into the area. And I've had the honor to be with this young man. It's all about him. That's right. Yes. When I came back into town to deliver a message at my daughter's homegoing service, several years before, I had met a young lady outside of Vinnie's Wings in Leesburg, and I gave her a track, and she said to me, Mister, she followed me out after I was done eating, and she said, Mister, will you pray for me? And I did. And then she ended up going to a women's center, which I was affiliated with in Leesburg. That was 2 years later. Here I am coming back into town for my daughter's homegoing service. The power of a gospel tract. And 2 years later, as I'm delivering the message at my daughter's homegoing service, when I got done all day long, I was only here to do that and be back out of town. And then I resigned to come back here. But for those 48 hours, God was also bearing down on me about the young lady that I'd run into in Vinnie's Wings. And I thought, what are you... I wonder how she is, God. You know, I can't bring my daughter back, but I can make a difference in other lives. And after delivering that message, I went into a Bob Evans, which used to exist here in Leesburg, and this waitress come walking up to me and said, do I know you from somewhere? And all of a sudden, I told her, I said, well, my name's Phil, and I'm up in Kentucky. She says, oh, my God, you're Phil. She says, I'm Sarah. You just don't know what the power of a gospel tract will do. That's a tender-hearted young lady that has her family together. Struggles. We all have struggles. But she has her family together, and she loves God. I'm not going to pick on her today, but her mother's here. Okay? By the way, in the 8 years I've been back here, I compel people to come to church here. And back here, their names are Ed and Margie. I know they don't like to be put on the spot, but these are two people who love the Lord, who lived in the villages, and God allows me to go into their homes and then compel them, if they don't know the Lord, to minister to them. But if they do know the Lord, oh my God, this is an awesome couple. And guess what? They brought a guest today. That's what it's all about, that chain reaction. But you've got to pray for the power to witness. Don't do it in the flesh. Pray for the power to witness and watch what God does. I can go in many directions. Because when God spoke to my heart in 2000, 8 years later, I had delivered the message of the gospel in one way or another close to 500,000 times. After that, I quit. I quit counting. But you see the power of God rest upon people. You recognize this book, Ed? I'm going to end with this one, but then I want you all to participate, okay? So I want to save time for that. We're taking a trip to China, me and Ed. And I got a devotion for us, okay? And when we get over there, we're visiting different factories, and we go into this factory. I also had a Bible, okay? And I actually had a big Bible. And I had it marked with verses. And I told Ed and his partner, I said, when we get there, somebody's going to ask me for this Bible. And I also, we had these devotions. So when we go to a factory, this lady is giving us a presentation of their products. And the one partner walks away, and Ed is there. Of course, he's my baby in Christ, okay? And he still has his devotion with him while we're going around visiting factories. And when the one guy goes to use the restroom, that lady looks at Ed and goes, "What's that book?" And Ed says, "Ask him, meaning me, okay?" So I said, "Oh," I said, "we respect what you believe in your country." I said, "But this is all about Jesus Christ. I believe he was the Son of God," and I just laid it out before her. And I said, "The front verse in there, in this book, starts out with, 'He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee.' Because if you trust in him, he'll start giving you peace." She says, "Oh, man, the only peace I ever had was when I went diving one time." And then the other partner came back. So there we are. We finish up, and I looked at her, and I said, "Thank you for representing your country well, representing your business well." And I said, "I would like to give you," I'm giving away Ed's devotion, okay? And I said, "I would like to give you," go ahead, "I'm going to give that to you, okay?" And she goes, "Thank you, mister." And I'm going to take it back. No, I'll give it back to you. And she goes, "Thank you, mister." She says, "I have no peace, and I promise you I will teach my husband English out of it." And I looked at her and I said, "You can have peace." I said, "Can I pray with you?" And I said, "He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, if you want to trust in him. Simple faith in Jesus Christ." And we prayed together there, and she asked Christ into her life. You don't know. I need all the men. All the men. This past week, how many of you gave out an invitation to Grace? Raise your hand. Wow. Yeah, thank you. I need one verse put back up there. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I need that verse put back up there. I need all of the men to stand. And together, I need the men to look at other people and say, together in unison, "For I am not ashamed, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And I know you're not ashamed of them. And then what I need you to do is, if you received one of these this morning, I want the men to turn to somebody and say, "Can I give you some good news in a troubled world? We can make a difference." Go ahead. That was the power of God going out of you, touching another life. Thank you, men. And once you're done giving out the word of God, which is quick and powerful, you may be seated. Normally, I'll ask the women to stand first because we always need to honor the women. But I wanted the men to stand first. I have a question for y'all. Who was the first person to deliver the gospel message? Does anybody know? That Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, you mean a woman gave the gospel out first? Whoa. Where were the men? Oh. Oh. Okay. I need all the women to stand. And ladies, I want you to take your invitation and give it to someone and say, Let me give you some good news in a troubled world. And then when you're done, thank you, ladies. Oh, wait, let's have the ladies say it. You weren't ashamed when he was at the empty tomb. So ladies, let's speak it. For I'm not ashamed of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. And we thank you, ladies, for delivering the message to the men. Oh, I'll share with you one other, and then I want several of you to share on your invitations. God's opened a ministry over on the coast, and I have a place over there. I work here several days a week. Thank God that through the ministry that Ed has, it's given me an awesome opportunity. And then also, when we go around, we share our faith everywhere. But I was praying and looking for the last 2 years for an RV to plant on the coast. There was a man in my life. Actually, he piloted Metropolitan Life for a Europe, and he was a very wealthy man. But one day when he came to know God, he was a man of the world. His whole course of life changed. He quit everything, and he traveled around to RV parks delivering the message of the gospel. And so I asked God, as if this is a direction you wanted me to head, open the door. Oh, my God. I won't go into details of how all the doors open. All I will say is that I went and came to the final time for the transaction. And when I first went there, this salesman, I ended up saying, can I give you some good news in troubled world? And the man started crying. He's a pretty good sized fella, you know? And the next time I came back, this is real important. Next time I came back, we're finishing up the agreement. And I told him, I said, I'm going to go down there and pray in the RV, and I believe this is what I need to do, but I need to go down there and pray. Already, transaction-wise, was way under I could ever imagine. But I also needed to purchase from them a piece of equipment. So when he showed me the RV, originally there weren't keys to get underneath to see what was inside. So I'm in there praying, and I see the keys. And I thought, well, I'll check to make sure everything looks okay underneath. And when I did, there was a piece of equipment that I needed to buy, and it's worth at least $500, maybe even up to $1,000 if somebody else installs it, which they would have had to because I'm not a mechanic. There was the part. So God even threw that on there. Now I go back up to finish the agreement, and while I'm in the office making the final transactions, here comes one of the salespeople talking with another one, and they're talking about hitting up on this lady who was married. And this was going on, and two or three were entering in. So all of a sudden, it's my turn. I'm standing there in the midst of all this. And I looked at that man behind the counter who was finishing the transaction, and I said, can I give you some good news in a troubled world? It's all about Jesus. Everything changed. That brings up another one. But anyway, everything changed. I did not know that my salesman had just walked in the door and watched this go on. He's behind me. He wasn't participating in this, but he heard it. And when I said that, he said, let me tell you something. He says, that man gave me that little book 2 weeks ago. I read it and asked Christ into my life, and my life is forever changed. Whoa. I gave it away, and trust me, I do know when I talk with people that I can finally talk to them about what's in the book. I'll finally bring you to a point, and I would say that to anybody today before you walk out of here. If you die today, are you 100% sure of going to heaven? If not, on the authority of God's word, you give me 10 minutes, I'll let you read the word and let the word speak to you. But in this particular case, I didn't even have to do that. The man read the book and he asked Christ into his heart. Isn't that awesome? So when you don't think you have the ability to talk it, which you don't, the power of God may give you that ability, but you do have the ability by the power of God to deliver the message. From the men, let's go with the ladies first now. Ladies always first. That's the way my dad taught me, and that's the way it is. Is there a lady that shared this past week and gave an invitation out? And then we're going to close, but did anybody give an invitation out, and was there a response? Pastor Gary said, would you please ask them? And I said, of course, you know, I'm going to anyway. Is there? Yes. Yes. Margie, go ahead. Yes.
My neighbor, who knows Christ, but she is very troubled, and I asked her to come to church with us, and I said, God can heal. She just has to allow him to come into her life completely and give everything to him.
Thank you. Thank you. I saw one other hand here, and then I won't pass it to the men, because I don't want to keep you any longer than what Pastor Gary keep you. Oh, I could keep you all day.
I shared with a lady who was going through a lot of heartache, and she did ask Jesus into her heart. She's not ready to come to church yet, right, but we know she will be coming,
yes,
whether here or somewhere else. So
yes,
it was just, she just had tears just, yes, rolling down her face, yes, the Holy Spirit transforming her life.
Thank you, dear. While I'm back here in the corner, though, I've got to say something. Nope, I don't think she... Are you the one that told me about the cross, what you saw up there? Nope. Somebody else was sitting in that corner. Ministry-wise, in Mexico, I always had to have a big cross. And it burned down on the hill. So I said, men, we're going up there to take a new one up, and we put it up. When I was at the ministry in Kentucky for the Men and Women's Center, I said, we need a big cross. And this man came in, asked him what the cost would be, put a big cross with big boulders. And he said, no charge. So while I'm on the coast, I'm praying, God, I need a cross. Show me. Show me what cross I need in the traveling ministry, wherever I go on the coast. And then this man walked up to me and gave me this cross. I'm going to get some big boulders this year and put little boulders around it, you know, the traveling ministry. Men, who shared their faith this week and delivered an invitation? Raise your hand if you want to share what happened. I'm going to come back to you.
There you go, my brother.
We were at a restaurant, and I give the track to our waiter, and he told us that it was funny. Him and the person he was riding with just went by a little church that day and wondered what goes on in there. So we talked more about Jesus, and I told him, if you have any confusion about things that come to your mind, just look on the back, Google it. You'll find out what the truth is, and it could bring you closer to your Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, my brother. I hope and pray that God has spoken to every one of our hearts. There's more of these invitations as you go out. And we'll close. I love my brother Miguel. Miguel, will you close for us? And if there's somebody that doesn't know Jesus, the thing that got me in 84 was I had no peace. But I had a father whose faith was real, and he had peace. And if you don't have peace today, come forward. Make that decision. My brother, will you close us?
Father, we just thank you for this message that's been brought today, Lord. We need hunger for you. We need to hunger enough to care that when we go out there, people may know that we are your disciples, that we may be an attraction to people, that they may see Christ in us. My Lord, that when we give them, whether a track, whether a testimony, anything that you put on our hand at that moment, that they may be receptive, that the Holy Spirit may open up their minds and their eyes at the moment, and that they may be open to receive. Lord, you want us to be hungry enough to go out. And many times we come into your house and all we ask is, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. And then it stays with us. And everything he gave us is just still with us. My Lord, you don't want us to just get fat with your word. You want us to empty ourselves out there. You want us to go and spread the good news of salvation, that people may see you in us, that they may see the light and be set free. That's what you want. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time, Lord. So I pray that everything that my brother Phil spoke today, people may receive it and make, my God, a practice of it. Because we just got, and my God, we got equipped today in a way that we may go out there and easily present the good news of salvation. That we may be, my God, willing and able to be used by God. We thank you, my Lord. We bless your people in this day. We bless them and we pray that the joy that they receive today may remain throughout the week, and that they may spread it, my God, freely. We also pray that if anyone in this place today does not know Christ, if you do not know Christ in this day, today is the day of salvation. Do not walk out those doors thinking you have your whole life ahead of you, because you don't know the day nor the hour that this life will end for you. It's not a scare tactic, it's a reality. We're here today, but we could be gone tomorrow. So Father, in Jesus' name, anyone here need Christ, the altar is open. I pray for the altar workers to be here, for people to come and receive prayer, whether for salvation, whether a miracle needs to take place in your life, a healing, whether you're dealing with circumstances that are beyond your control, that you may come and receive peace, like we spoke about today as well. So Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we just do this, knowing that you are the one that restores, that you are the one that renews, that you are the one that takes these matters and you make beauty out of it. We pray, my God, that everyone that's here today, my Lord, that they may not leave the same way they came in. That if they need to be in the altar, that they may freely just come. Don't wait for invitation. I know sometimes we want to be sure.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.